and welcome to Awin Talks, the affiliate marketing podcast. I'm your host, Rob Davidson from Awin's global strategy team, and I'm flying solo today as host without my trusty steed, Kevin Edwards. However, I'm not totally alone on the episode as we do have a couple of great interviews coming up. First of all, I talk to Robin Ward from LTK, one of the world's leading influencer and creator platforms. Formerly known as Reward Style or Like to Know It, the platform has played a pivotal role in the professionalization of the influencer industry, helping individual creators carve out careers through commercial partnerships with relevant brands. Now, Robin is the head of sales for Europe at LTK, and he's witnessed some significant milestones for the company in his time there already, including the recent headline-grabbing announcement the venture capital fund from Japan's SoftBank would be investing around $300 million into the business, which valued the company at around $2 billion. Now, that announcement is a significant indicator of the future growth that they see in the creator economy, and specifically the pivotal role that LTK can play in its continued evolution. So I chatted to Robin about what that investment means for the firm, but also more broadly about trends within the creator industry and how the affiliate and performance marketing channel fits alongside more influencer-based activity. For an insider's view on what's going on in this hyper-growth sector right now, it's well worth a listen. LTK are actually one of a number of partners who feature in this year's upcoming Awin report, and we're conducting interviews with a selection of these partners right now with the aim of sharing these conversations on the pod in the coming weeks and months. So you can look forward to lots more great discussions like this in upcoming episodes. Stay tuned for those. And after that interview, I was joined by none other than our very own Ed Chaput, Awin's product marketing manager, who is here to tell me more about a new tool the Awin team has recently developed and launched to help advertisers find new relevant publishers on the network that they're not already working with. So make sure you stick around for that conversation towards the end of the episode and look out for details on the new product on the Awin blog. In the meantime, let's dive straight into my chat with Robin from LTK. Hi, Robin. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. How are you?
I'm great, Rob. Thanks. I'm very good. How are you?
Really good. Yeah, thank you. Where does the podcast find you today? Where are you based?
I'm actually in our office today in Old Street, kind of Shoreditch area. I'm coming in for some voluntarily at the moment for some peace and quiet. And I'm spending some time here rather than working from home at the moment. I think as we gradually start to come back, hopefully we'll be busier and busier.
Yeah, fingers crossed, fingers crossed. So how long have you been working for LTK now?
It's actually coming up to three years this year, in the summer. So just over 2.5 years now. It's been a bit of a whirlwind. It's been, you know, everyone always says it's gone very quickly, but it really has flown by. So yeah, it's my 3-year anniversary in August.
Yeah, well, it sounds like there's been quite a lot of activity since you've joined then. Now, LTK, for audiences who are unfamiliar with the company, is the relatively new rebranded name for what was originally known as Reward Style and Like to Know It. Could you just tell us a bit about the business itself and its origins?
Yeah, absolutely. As you mentioned, you know, relatively new rebrand, which we can come on to. But we're essentially today the largest global influencer marketing platform. We're a global business generating about $3 billion in revenue each year for our brand partners. We've reached a big scale, but we were founded back in 2011. So we had our 10-year anniversary last year, and we're founded by our Amber Vensbox and her then boyfriend, now husband, Baxter Box, who are still leading the company today. And they really founded the business to empower lifestyle creators to be as economically successful as possible. It was quite a simple start. Amber was a personal shopper in Dallas, Texas, where they're based. She was finding more and more of her clients were going online and were, you know, she was going through the personal shopping process with them, and then people were going online to purchase and going online to convert. And so she recognized she was being cut out of her own business. And so she wanted to do something about that. So Baxter, her boyfriend at the time, as I say, now husband, he was the tech guy, and they built the embryonic platform that was Reward Style in order to build those connections between influencers, brands, and consumers. So we're now in our 11th year. That's still our raison d'etre. That's still our focus, serving as that three-sided marketplace for creators, brands, and shoppers.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a hugely impressive kind of growth that the business has undergone over the last decade or so. For your brand partners, what kind of growth opportunities does LTK offer them in terms of the influencers and creators that you work with?
I think that's my side of the business. That's the bit I'm very interested in. I lead the brand side of the business in Europe. And so I think for our brand partners, fundamentally, we're offering that distributed global sales force. We're reaching mainstream and niche audiences far and wide through the creators that we have on LTK. Our role, and you know, we exist to find the right creators that convert for our brands and to really help brands rationalize their investment, rationalize what they're doing in the creator marketplace with influencer collaborations, and really provide that end-to-end opportunity to work with creators with regards to insight, planning, execution, reporting. We really want to elevate brands and use the huge performance data set we have in order to help them collaborate with premium influencers across industries, across the world. I think it was around 150,000 creators at last count, growing every day, that have different backgrounds, different interests, different channels. And we work with those creators to really optimize our brand reach and performance. And I think what I find is that a lot of brands work with us because they really want to accurately measure the genuine sales impact from creator commerce. And I think that's still not the norm within the creator space. You, Rob, obviously approaching it from Awin in a kind of affiliate performance driven background, that's very much the norm. But I think that's still not necessarily pervasive across all brands that work in this space. And there is very much room for different types of goals and different types of campaigns. But we're seeing more and more, especially recently over the last few years, as we've kind of boomed in this space, that brands really want to measure that full funnel brand performance down to the transaction. And so we really see our role as being able to help with that. Equally, our global reach, I think, is a very key part of brands working with us. Europe, US, Latin America, APAC, Australia, you know, we can provide creator opportunities across the world. And then I think finally, the amplification piece via our consumer platform, which is LTK. So for those that don't know, LTK is a sort of high converting shopping app powered by our influencer content, where millions of shoppers worldwide seek daily lifestyle inspiration and trusted influencer partners to shop through. What we see with that app is conversion rates are kind of four times higher than other social platforms. So we really provide that consumer intent and that high purchase behavior from our consumers via our amplification with our consumer platform.
We've used the terms influencer and creator kind of almost interchangeably, I guess, already in this conversation. I guess that happens a lot in this industry.
Yeah.
Is there a distinction? Is it more of a semantic thing, or are there characteristic differences between the way that you would describe an influencer versus a creator?
I don't think necessarily. It's moving more towards creators in terms of the accepted terminology. I think still both terms are quite interchangeable and are quite accepted and quite understandable. But I think as the terminology evolves, we're moving more towards creator, which I think better encompasses what these individuals are doing on behalf of brands and for consumers.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think coming from the affiliate industry and with that background, there's almost been a similar transition over the last few years around affiliate and partner. And whether or not there are,
yeah,
exactly. You know, this whole kind of distinction that's made between those different aspects of the, which largely describe the same kind of thing, but and maybe doing it in a way that frames it slightly differently for people that don't, maybe aren't as experienced in the industry. So it's a kind of analogous evolution, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the partnership very much encompasses how we work with our brands and how we work with our creators. And it's a bit more all-encompassing, I think, than traditional sort of affiliate terminology, because essentially we're just describing a relationship between two entities. And as we diversify and as we grow, I think partnership is a more suitable term these days, maybe, than affiliate, certainly for us as a business.
Yeah, no, I mean, it also kind of speaks to, I think, like you mentioned earlier, actually, about how there was this merging of the marketing channels between what LTK is traditionally doing and more of what where Awin tends to situate itself. So this is a growing trend within the affiliate industry, the whole influencer creator partnerships. And particularly, I think when you're considering some of those smaller niche micro influencers or nano influencers, as we've heard them been described as well, seeking to monetize their traffic. So why do you think that we've seen this merging? I mean, I guess you kind of already intimated around the fact that it's trying to maybe apply more of that performance heritage to this marketing model.
Yeah, potentially. I think brands today very much recognize that content creators have got loyal, long-term followings who connect with every aspect of their life. And these include audiences difficult to reach via other channels. And equally, many creators are brands in their own right. When you're thinking about partnerships, I think, you know, that is relevant, potentially working with very large brands in their own right, which a lot of the creators are. And that also makes them increasingly attractive to marketers seeking to amplify the impact of their campaigns and humanize their products in a really meaningful way. In the last couple of years, the last 18 months, where there's been less and less touch points for brands with their consumers, that's really where creators have come to the fore as a driving force in the shift towards partner-driven economy. And they provide the consumers with that humanizing of a product and that look and feel and that, you know, things that elements are difficult to achieve through other channels. And I think that will only accelerate as brands increasingly recognize the importance of deepening trust and authenticity. And that can really be achieved through credible product recommendations, through creators. There's no one size fits all model of working with creators, and because of the nature of what we do, you know, I speak to lots and lots of different brands, and we do touch on different areas of the business. We very rarely solely exist within performance teams. Of course, we touch on PR teams, we touch on social teams. So you need to be speaking to individuals, brand side, who have that overview and have that perspective over those different channels, if you want to call them channels, and can understand where a business like LTK can fit within those channels. Because if you look at it purely through a performance lens, maybe as a relatively broad term, but if you narrow that to an affiliate lens, then you're really not capturing what us or our creators are doing and the role they play in driving consumers through the funnel to brand partners. So I think you've got to have that holistic view, and trying to separate that into distinct marketing channels, I'm not sure how useful that is when you have a sort of a business such as ourselves or creators that we work with that touch on lots of those different channels.
Yeah, and from your own business's perspective, what role do affiliate platforms like Awin's play in LTK's own growth?
Platforms like LTK have been a cornerstone of our growth for a very long time, you know, since we started. So fundamentally, collaboration is very key to delivering results for creators and brand partners, and it's how we got to where we are today. Collaboration means working between LTK, between brands, and between partners like Awin. And the affiliate channel is always an important consideration in our long-term strategy as we look to build on the growth that we've seen. You really help drive high-intent shoppers through to brands, through to creators, and we are all working around that awareness and conversion model. So it really strengthens our offering and helps us build successful next-generation campaigns in collaboration with brand partners.
Perfect. Well, your co-founder you mentioned earlier, Amber Vence-Box, she's been quoted as saying that LTK has been pivotal to the invention of today's creator economy. And I wanted to ask you, like, looking forward, what is LTK's vision for how the industry is likely to evolve in the coming years?
We've seen a big evolution in the last 18 to 24 months in the creator economy, and we expect that to continue over the coming years. I think a lot of the social media companies that are, of course, very important in this space, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other regional platforms, are investing heavily in the creator space and heavily in the e-commerce space. And we really expect that trend to continue as they're really trying to double down on monetizing their platforms and their content. But I think that last point is important, monetizing their platforms and their content. That isn't always to the benefit of creators. Instagram algorithm, if we take it as an example, you know, is a fickle beast and something which creators try and work with week in, week out to maintain their position and maintain their audiences. And so that can be challenging. And a lot of the work that platforms such as that are doing is feeding that algorithm and feeding their own ad machines to improve their programmatic advertising offerings and to improve those algorithms. That's not necessarily hand in hand with improving the offering for creators. And so what we're really focusing on is creator guided shop and creator commerce 2.0, which is really what we see as just the beginning for the creator economy. I think it's quite clear now that creators are retailers, they're curators for brands, they're driving great engagement, building authentic relationships with consumers. And they're often the starting point of that shopping experience. And consumers are coming to creators to help them navigate the various social platforms and myriad of products out there and brands out there because they trust them and they have a relationship with them. And, you know, they really value their content and what they put out there. And so thinking about Creator Commerce 2.0, we're thinking, how can you centralize that shopping effort that creators do for a large part of their audiences? How can we bring that into a single space? Those high intent shoppers that follow creators to shop, where is their virtual storefront for that? And that's a big part of what we're doing is that curated storefront, the LTK creator shop, where we really see consumers will start and end their retail experience with creators. And so creators more and more are making their lives shoppable, providing that unique creation and that context. And so we want to give them that elegant experience that they can provide to their consumers where their content lives forever, and they can provide that virtual storefront to make their lives shoppable and to give access to their authoritative dialogue across fashion, beauty, home, fitness, etc., to drive more authentic interactions and to really inform their followers' lifestyle choices. So I think that is filling the gap between online and in-person retail, a trend that we've, of course, seen accelerate during the pandemic. I'm not sure if you saw our recent takeover of a vacant retail space on Oxford Street, but we took over. That was fantastic, and we really enjoyed it. Taking over a shop, a storefront on Oxford Street, having a conceptual installation that really celebrated this experience, this creator storefront, a virtual storefront in a physical location that was 100% shoppable, to really highlight the paradigm shift in how people are now shopping through creators. So that's where we see things heading, and that's where we want to be at the forefront of, and that's where we see our position as a business sort of into 2022 and beyond.
Yeah, that's really interesting as well. It's kind of the business has almost come full circle from its origins, you could argue, in some respects, with Amber previously being a shop assistant in a real shop, in a physical shop, kind of going off online and creating this hugely successful company, LTK, and then finally the company opening its own physical storefronts, which merge these two worlds in a way which is really fascinating.
Yeah, it is interesting, the physical storefront element, and bringing it round from her experiences as a personal shopper all those years ago. I think the physical storefront was very much to highlight what we're seeing with regards to, you know, the virtual storefronts that we're creating through the LTK app and through our platform. To have that single store, multiple brands, multiple products, content, high quality content, curated by people you trust. We've kind of been discussing this message and evangelizing this message for sort of around sort of 6 to 12 months now, and we're just seeing it gathering momentum.
Now, in November last year, some listeners might be familiar with this news, but the Japanese venture capital fund SoftBank invested $300 million into LTK, really indicating the huge potential that they see in the business and this wider creator industry. What does that investment mean for LTK's strategy going forward, and what kinds of future developments can we expect from the company?
Very exciting. We've got very big plans. Vision Fund investment will really be used to speed up growth, build towards the future of that creator economy that I've been discussing. Personally, And across the organization, we're hiring extensively. That's a big focus to scale our international presence and then therefore dramatically accelerate the growth of that three-sided platform. So shout out for people looking for to potentially get in at entry level or more senior roles within the creator space. We're hiring. Please jump on our careers page. We'd love to hear from you. And I think beyond that, we're focusing more on new products, building new products to make creators and brands more successful, to enhance that shopping experience and make it easier and more elegant for people all around the world.
Perfect. That's probably all we've got time for. One last question, just to put you on the spot there, actually. Who would you recommend as who's an influencer that you follow or a creator that you follow that you can recommend to our audience to check out?
I follow lots of influencers. It's interesting on the male side of things. That's always been a smaller part of the overall influencer economy. But I think it's growing more and more and we're seeing a huge amount of traction in that area. But actually one of the influencers I follow myself for not just for product recommendations, but I think more for kind of because I like the authenticity of her style and how she approaches things is Sophie Milner. I'm a big fan. And I have some of her content. It doesn't take itself too seriously, elicits a laugh, and I quite like that element. So yeah, big fan of hers.
Perfect. I have to check her out after after this conversation. But thanks for taking the time to join us today, Robin, and best of luck for the rest of 2022.
Thank you very much. Good to speak to you, Rob.
Hi Ed, great to have you back on the Awin Talks podcast.
Hi Rob, absolutely lovely to be back on.
This is your fourth
time,
I believe. Yes, fourth time. Yeah. Good. Well, hopefully we'll make this more of a regular occurrence in the coming months.
Well, let's see how I perform today.
So for audiences unfamiliar with your golden tones, could you describe what your role is here at Awin?
Sure. So I'm one of our product marketing managers at Awin. So that's working, I suppose, around marketing and around our products and making sure that our customers are aware of new things that are coming out, how to get the most out of our tools and really kind of understanding what they're all about. And today it's very much about a new tool that's coming out.
Yes. So what is this new report that's being launched in the Awin interface that you can tell us a bit more about?
Sure. So what's launching, I suppose we could call it a report, but it's actually something that will exist in the publisher directory and it's publisher recommendations. So this is the default view tab on the publisher directory and it's going to give you a list of 25 publishers that are recommended as the best fit for your program. And that's up to 25 publishers every single day that you could be getting.
Okay, perfect. So this is for advertisers. Can you give us a brief summary of how it actually works?
Sure. So some of our larger advertisers will have had, I suppose, bespoke recruitment done by the publisher services team. I mean, that's been going on for a while and has evolved into sort of Tableau reports and other ways to really drill in and looking at things across the same advertisers that work in the same sector, publishers that they work with in certain areas that maybe you don't with. So looking at things like gap analysis, looking at performance, taking in a lot of this data to determine, okay, well, based on all of that, based on your sector, based on how you're performing, we think that these publishers are going to be the best fit for you. Now, it is at the moment, it's something that will improve and grow. It's machine learning. What is that best fit? And I think the most important thing about this tool is not only it's going to make recruitment a lot easier and help you find those right partners a lot quicker, but for advertisers, we'll be engaging with the tool and actually rating those publishers. So you'll see within the directory when it's released, your number one publisher will have a little some stars next to it, 1 to 5 stars, the same for all of them. And it's really important that advertisers are rating those because that's providing feedback into our system and really then starting to optimize and improve those recommendations over time. And I think that's the really important thing about this tool. It's going to be great to have those recommendations, but to really make it work, you've got to get involved. You've got to tell, if it's a bad recommendation, tell us. If it's a great recommendation, tell us, and we'll give you more of the good and less of the bad.
Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, I think that this has always been one of the major dilemmas that advertisers running affiliate programs have had, is like, how do I find that next best, you know, high potential partner who's going to really help me kind of grow the business and grow my revenues and sales, etc. So in the past, I mean, when I used to work on a publisher team, it was like an ongoing joke around the request that you'd get from client services teams asking for, have you got this, you know, X niche list of publishers that we would then have to scrabble around and kind of find quite manually. So I'm hoping that something like this recommendations report, sounds like it's got really great potential in helping brands to do that without that manual support necessarily.
That was always the issue. It's such a time-consuming task that, of course, we'd love to do it for every advertiser and be able to say, look, here's your bespoke set of recommendations that we truly matched up. I mean, it's feasibly not possible for the amount of advertisers we have. So automating it, I think, it just takes it down. It's not just for a select few now, it's available to everyone. And when we look at things like access accounts that might be extremely new to the industry, coming in and seeing that publisher directory, thousands and thousands of publishers across all different sectors, where do you begin? Like, where do you start? Yeah. I'd hate to be in that position. But at least now, you know, I can start picking on all the main ones and focusing my time onto the publishers that we think are going to be the best fit for you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's more than 225,000 that are that's click active alone, you know.
Yeah.
That's not even those that maybe haven't generated a click yet and that are new to the network. So there's an awful lot of kind of filtering out that needs
exactly.
to go on there. Are there any limits on who can actually currently access this report? What's the kind of timeline around rollouts as well?
Yeah, so it's access is going to be available to all advertisers, so there'll be no restriction on who can have it. With regards to the rollout, it's something we're going to start in the US, so this has been piloted there for a little bit, so we're going to start the rollout at the beginning of February from the US. If that goes smoothly, which I'm sure it will, we'll be launching in the UK, and then from that we'll then go out to the other regions. If all goes well, we should have a global release completed by the end of the quarter.
Okay, great. So if advertisers are interested in finding out more about it, how can they learn about the report and then access it within the UI when it does get launched locally?
Well, as it does get released, you know, we'll be putting out notifications, we'll let people know. I think we have the mix between managed and non-managed accounts, and some of this work for the managed accounts, you know, that'll probably be internal staff account managers sort of doing this for them. But we will communicate directly, especially with those non-managed accounts. There'll be the Advertiser Success Center. There'll be the wiki. That's little resources where you can go and find out a little bit more about it. But really, the easiest thing, just open your publisher directory. It'll be the first tab that you land on will be the recommendation. So I think the best advice, you can read the wiki, but it's a fairly simple tool. I would just get stuck in, get straight in there, go to the directory and start having a look and browsing at who's been recommended.
Make sure you rate those recommendations.
Exactly. Rate them, and if they're good, invite them along. Probably worth adding as well that I think, you know, when we're creating these invites, you can go through to the publisher profile, you can personalize it a little bit and let them know that, hey, you've been recommended to me as a great fit. And, you know, just rather than just sending out a blind blank invite, personalize it a little bit, and just hopefully, you know, some of these publishers are going to be receiving a lot of potential requests as well. So try and make yourself stand out and start that relationship.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for jumping on today and giving us a bit of an outline on what the new product looks like and what people can expect. I'm sure we'll get you on very soon for any new product updates that are occurring across the network. I think it's your 10-year anniversary at Awin today. Is that correct?
It is 10 years was achieved in the month of January.
Congratulations.
So I'll have a few glasses of cider this evening.
Yes, you get less for murder. Or maybe you don't, yeah. I'm not sure. I don't know what the current rate is.
Yeah, it depends on the circumstances, I think.
All right, well, thanks a lot for joining us again, Ed.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Thanks to Ed there for all the detail on the new publisher discovery tool available for all advertisers within the Awin interface. If you'd like to find out more about it, then do check the Awin blog for more information, or I'll drop Ed's email address into the landing page for this episode on the Awin site, and you can reach out to him directly. But that's all we have time for on this week's episode of Awin Talks. Please don't forget to give us a rating and review on whichever podcast platform of choice you use. It makes all the difference to our reach. And until next time, it's goodbye from me.